Welcome back to Full Circle on 94.1 KPFA, kpfa.org. I'm your host, Mari Nakagawa. That song you just heard was Touch One, Touch All by Tony Touch featuring Dead Prez. So last Saturday marked the Global Day of Action Against Driscoll's, organized by El Sindicato Independiente Nacional y Democrático de Jornaleros Agrícolas, SINDJA, in English, the Independent Democratic Farm Workers Union. Driscoll's is the world's largest berry producer, and for years their workers in San Quintin Valley, Baja California, have alleged wage theft, long hours, lack of legal protections, exposure to dangerous chemicals, and various forms of abuse. Joining us in studios to discuss is Steve Zeltzer, labor organizer with the movement to boycott Driscoll's and host of Work Week, a weekly program here at KPFA. Steve, welcome to Full Circle.
Thank you. And first of all, I want to congratulate the apprentices for streaming the climate rally live.
Thank you.
I think that was a great thing, and I think the fact that you could have it live is very important. And actually, it corresponds to what's happening with the farm workers in Mexico, because they're starting to stream their press conferences and rallies live on Facebook.
But multimedia.
They're getting their stories out, and that's what we have to do. That's why what you're doing in the apprentice program is very important, because there's so many stories going on that have to be covered, and streaming live to the people of this country and this world is very important for that.
Yeah, and we can thank specifically Frank Sterling for making that happen. But Steve, I want to ask how you got involved with Boycott Driscoll's and with the labor's organizing in San Quintin.
Well, I have been involved in solidarity, international solidarity, for many, many decades because basically workers in this country are from all over the world, and the struggles here are the same struggles that are going on in Mexico and in many other countries. And what the capitalists do in this country is try to pit workers in this country against other countries. You know, I mean, blaming the Mexican workers for the economic crisis in this country, which Trump and other people have done. So one of the ways to counter that is to actually talk, what are the conditions of workers in Mexico? And the truth of the matter is that as a result of NAFTA, and we can go into this later, NAFTA privatized the ejidos, the land that the indigenous people in these areas worked on, and they were forced off the land. Many of them came to the United States to work, then they were kicked out of the United States and ended up in Baja California, San Quintin, 80,000 workers and their families in slave-like conditions. And when I discovered that, I mean, this is a result of NAFTA. This is the result, that you have these workers and their families fighting for justice, fighting for human rights, fighting for housing, fighting for health care. And the fact that it's right next to California means that we, as people in California, have a responsibility to link up with our brothers and sisters in Mexico. I mean, this is our direct link. And there's not enough of that direct linkage between workers here and workers in Mexico. And there should be. That's one of the reasons I've been involved in that.
And how have workers in California and workers in Mexico done this through this boycott Driscoll's?
Well, we've organized nationally and internationally. Most recent International Day of Action on September 29th, there were actions around the world. There were actions in Chicago, many, many cities, including in San Francisco at Costco, which is a big carrier of Driscoll's berries. So we have it's a rank and file kind of thing. It's a network. Nobody is organizing, no one group. What we encourage people to do is organize where you are. Go to the supermarkets and ask them not to carry Driscoll berries, because these workers are living on $7, are trying to live on $7 a day, and the companies, Driscoll's, do not want a union. There was a strike 2 years ago. They went on strike, and they brought in the army and the police to crush the strike. And
that was in Mexico. Correct?
That was in Mexico, yeah. And so the basically, these workers are working for Driscoll's. Driscoll's is making the profit, and the conditions they have are directly a result of the United States, U.S. multinationals, who keep down their wages and don't want them to have living wages. So more education is what's necessary. I think later this month there may be Lorenzo, the leader of the farm workers, may be coming to California to speak and thank workers here who are showing solidarity. Also, there's a movement of millions of people in Mexico against the exploitation, the privatization of the Mexican economy, because Mexico is a wealthy country, yet you have tremendous poverty. And the reason is the wealth at the top, and the wealth under NAFTA was privatized. They privatized a telecom company. They gave it to Carlos Slim, who's one of the richest men in the world. They gave it to U.S. companies to buy the railroads, to buy the mines, to buy the wealth of Mexico. And unfortunately, under this new NAFTA point two, they want to continue that, continue privatizing the oil and the other wealth. So we need solidarity, because the way we look at it is the way we're going to build a strong working class movement is to have direct links, and for workers to support the workers of Mexico, they will support us. Workers in Canada, that we're all in the struggle together. We're fighting the same multinationals. So let's work together.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk briefly in a bit about NAFTA 2.0. I'm wondering if you could describe a little bit more about the conditions.
Well, the Mexican farm workers in San Quintin live in hovels. I mean, you talk about, just shacks and not wooden shacks, tin shacks. Tents, basically. The tents you see in the Bay Area, but in worse shape than in the Bay Area. So these are the families that live there. The roads are unpaved. The governments have promised they would pave the roads. When it rains, as it has this past week, there's mud on the roads. They don't have proper health conditions. They don't have the health care benefits. They're not covered by Social Security, although the government promised that they would. And actually, there's a terrible pesticide danger of cancers and other things. I mean, a lot of the young children are in the fields, so they're getting these chemicals, and it's a terrible health and safety condition for the people there. And that's, I would not want to live there. I would not want anyone to live in the conditions that they live under.
And so last year, farm workers at Sakuma Brothers in Washington,
yes,
who are mostly indigenous Oaxacan, won themselves a union. Can you tell us about their organizing?
Well, they had a struggle, a community struggle, and had a boycott, and they were able to force the grower in Washington to accept the union. And that's a good thing, but the struggle is not over. I mean, even in California, there are a large number of farm workers who are unorganized, their conditions are not that good. In fact, the heat, global warming is creating a terrible situation for farm workers who have to be out in the fields. Mm-hmm. And we have to defend these farm workers. The people that produce our food, they should have the highest priority. They're producing food for us. And they're mistreated. They've industrialized farming. They really don't care about the workers and their families. And we believe that the farm workers of Mexico have a right to a decent human life, that they should really take over the land that has been stolen from them by NAFTA and by the privatizers. That land belongs to them. It doesn't belong to multinationals. But the first step is for them to get a union contract, and also demand that they get the back wages, because these company unions in Mexico, they sign an agreement. You can't work unless you sign an agreement. You don't even know what it is. And under that agreement, they're not paid minimum wage. They don't get the benefits. So there's a struggle for independent unions. And the new president of Mexico, Obrador, actually has visited the farm workers twice. He's wearing a button of the Driscoll farm workers, mm-hmm, which is quite significant, actually. So they believe that they're going to get more support from this new government. But one of the things is that the way we build a real workers, international workers movement, is by building direct solidarity for them to come here, for us to go there. We're trying to organize a labor delegation of working people to go to San Quintin to meet with them and to learn about their conditions and struggles. And that's how we can bring back the real lives and struggles of Mexican farm workers.
So as many of our listeners know, the U.S., under the leadership of Trump, has drafted a new incarnation of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Can you talk about, you've spoken a little bit, but could you talk a little bit more about the original agreement in the context of these workers, how it shaped their conditions, and then the likely effect of this new agreement?
Well, as a result of the Mexican Revolution, the Mexican people nationalized oil, they nationalized the railroads, they nationalized telephone, and these institutions, transit, these institutions were institutions that people had some control over. So what U.S. capitalism has argued is the way you're going to become more efficient is to privatize. Let us take care of you. And they have privatized, basically handed these the wealth, these companies, over to U.S. multinationals and rich Mexican capitalists, and laid off large numbers of workers in the railroads and the mines. They've broken unions in the mines. So the real living conditions of the Mexicans has deteriorated as a result of NAFTA. The other thing that's happened is the free trade zones that they have, maquiladoras, are all non-union. So you have 1,500 factories there that are non-union. Slave conditions, the conditions of women are unbelievable in these areas. And sexual exploitation, that goes on with the farm worker women as well. And what happens is that these multinationals basically use the Mexican government to repress union organizers. So union organizers are arrested, beaten, and sometimes killed. And what we need to do is develop direct links with these farm worker organizers and industrial organizers and work with them to organize them because workers in this country cannot survive alone. They're in a world, a global world. So what we believe is that we have to organize by direct links and by direct action. Auto workers in this country, for example, if there's a strike of Mexican auto workers, they can stop the flow of auto. We're not going to put on these parts if these workers are trying to have a union. That's the real way. That's the bottom-up way of organizing international solidarity. That's the power of working people directly. And I think that there's going to be more of that because internationalism is growing. I was just on the picket line today of the Marriott workers in San Francisco. There are 2,500 workers, and they see it as an international struggle. Some of those workers are from El Salvador. They're from Philippines. They're from many countries that the United States has created civil wars in, and that's where they've ended up in the United States. They've been forced to flee here. And that is a condition of many Mexican workers who have come to this country. They've been forced as a result of the economic policies of the United States.
This is Full Circle. We've been speaking with Steve Zeltzer, labor organizer with Boycott Driscoll's and host of Work Week, a weekly program here on KPFA. Steve, how can folks support and learn more about worker organizers of Boycott Driscoll's?
Okay, before I just want to make some quick points on NAFTA. One, it's going to continue deregulation of healthcare. It's going to make it more difficult for us to have national healthcare in the United States. That's NAFTA point two. Mm. So they're going to hurt healthcare in this country. It also is going to allow the oil companies to continue and the chemical companies to continue to use pesticides and sprays in Mexico and the United States. So it's harmful in that way. And it's going to allow continued privatization of oil and other industries in Mexico. Mm-hmm. How can we help out? Well, what you can do is contact us, and I have a number, 916-712-4251. Set up a committee and go to your local grocer and ask them not to carry Driscoll berries. We're working to have a day of action once a month. We had a global day, but why not have a day of action once a month at a Costco, at your local food store, and just explain to them. It's a consumer. Say, look, we don't want berries picked by people who are living on $7 a day. They have a right to decent living conditions, and these berries are not cheap. They're high-priced. So why don't you refuse to sell the Driscoll's? And as I said, we're also planning to have a tour of Lorenzo, the leader of the farm workers in California, to meet with people in Sacramento, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area, and build up solidarity and get educated about these struggles.
Thank you so much for being with us, Steve.
Thank you. Let me give a phone number, 916-712-4251.
All right, and all that will be in our show notes. You can find it on kpfaapprentice.org. You're listening to Full Circle on 94.1 FM, KPFA. I've been your host for the first half of this show, Mari Nakagawa. Thanks for listening. I'm going to stick around, but hand the mic off to Aria Moshirian for the remainder of tonight's show.